Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, talking live action G.I. Joe movie. This is part 3 of 3, or is it? Maybe we'll have so much to say, it'll morph into a part 4, 5, 7. But probably not. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm already done with this. Like, what's retaliation, or what's the sequel?
Shan, remember when we said we should do this in 2 parts, and you went, nah, 40 minutes for me. How are we doing it in 3 parts?
That is true. I was there. You did say that you were watching them in 40-minute chunks, and you would not be dissuaded.
Yeah. No, I didn't want to have to, and I stand by that. I still don't want to have to sit through like a full hour of this thing.
Yeah, you could have just shown up when we watched it all together, Chan, except somebody had to eat those boiled peanuts from the back seat of his car.
Always eating those boiled peanuts.
Well, if they're boiled, then that wouldn't have been a problem. Also, I think it was the cucumbers. No, not the cucumbers, the carrots. The carrots were the things that did.
That's what you get for trying to eat healthy.
Tell me about it.
You know what? How I've never gotten food poisoning? French fries. Thank you.
Is that why, Gina, you keep telling me to eat healthy? And you'd be like, oh, what you're eating is disgusting. You got to eat healthy. You're just trying to kill me.
Yeah, I know. I know what's up. Okay. You think I actually eat that crap? My insides are pickled.
I'm learning. You're smarter than I gave you credit for.
That's just fascinating. anyway, so yeah, who are you people, by the way?
I don't even know anymore, man.
Right?
Who are any of us?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Your TV's Gene Ippolito with the brand new property on a very popular YouTube channel. Are we allowed to talk about that yet?
Wait, when does this drop?
Next week. It drops next week.
Sure. Sure.
Let's just leave it as a teaser, and then you could find out what we mean later.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal. I mean, you're making it's it really sound not. Like everybody, we got the Epstein files, and Gina's going to be reading them.
I do. I'm in them.
Oh, thank goodness. Were you one of the underage kids?
That's the surprise. That's the surprise. You'll have to wait and see.
Well, you're in a good spirit about it, so I think I have an idea.
I don't know. Go find a YouTube channel that currently has exactly 2 followers called @witchinghournr, and you'll see what we're about to get up to, even though there's no description and no information on there. But you can be one of the first to sign up.
Wow, I'm gonna do it right now. Witching Hour NR. Hey, that's a thing. That's the Witching Hour, a no views lo-fi rock metal mix is the only thing that came up.
That sounds about right.
Gina's gonna get in some AI music stuff.
Well, you guys are big fans of lo-fi. See, I had unfortunately a very, very bad surprise when I suddenly realized. I can't find what you're talking about, Gina. It doesn't show up in anything.
You know what? It's possible. It's hidden.
It doesn't even exist yet.
I don't know how things work. I'm told to go places and do certain things, and if you pay me money, I'll abide.
That's how you end up in the Epstein files. Come
exactly.
On, Gina.
Exactly.
Fantastic. So I take it back. I did find it. But only because Gina sent me a direct link. Look, the point I'm trying to make is I found out that all lo-fi music is AI-made bullshit, And I still haven't quite recovered from that because I've been loving lo-fi for years, only to find out it's all kind of fake. But I still love it. And now I have a problem in my head. One of those cognitive dissonances that makes me really uncomfortable because I still like to listen to it. But now I've seen behind the curtain and I know it's bullshit.
Is anybody listening surprised that Ray got duped by idiot computers?
Duped is the wrong answer. Like, it's still music. That music still exists. Unlike an AI video or photo where that never existed, but they made a picture. This music plays. This is where I'm having my problem. This music plays the same as any other music. I don't know. Like,
are we padding crap because we only have 10 minutes of the movie left to talk about?
I'm trying to, Gina, but you're making it awful difficult by calling it out.
Good.
We got a full 40 minutes, but I mean, here's the thing. I have been largely a booster of this movie up until this point. I've been calling out things and I'm like, okay, you know what? That was not too bad. That was pretty fun here and there. There is very little left in the remainder of this because it just turns into just a slapdash, just like retelling of Star Wars, but underwater. And it's there's like not a lot to love in the rest of this. So, you know, that's gonna happen.
We're going to open with Chantez. He's been captured, if you remember the last episode. He's been strapped to a chair, and then the doctor.
Oh, you called him Chantez?
Yeah, Chantez. Isn't that what we all call him?
First off, I also forgot his name, so started using Gina's Magic Mike moniker. I'm fine with that, I guess. Like, this, honestly, did not do a good job in this one. And it might... It can't be because like Stephen Sommers did The Mummy.
Yeah.
And it's most of the stuff that you see in here, but it's done correctly. So we know he knows how to do it. But like he couldn't direct Channing Tatum to something involving a sense of empathy, you know. Ugh.
Are we still talking about Magic Mike? He's going to be in, you know, he's going to be playing Gambit in not my cat, the X-Men character.
He's not going to be playing with your cat? I'm disappointed.
You know what? I bet he would if I asked him. I bet if I wrote him a nice handwritten note.
I thought you were referring to a property called Not My Cat, and I was like, go on. Whose cat is it? I'm curious.
You have to watch until the end to find out. He's going to be in Doomsday and or Secret Wars as Gambit. He has a fight scene with Dr. Doom. And I was like, oh, good for that guy. He's a good actor. And then I remembered this movie exists.
Look, Chantez is on a table. And this is when Jogolev, a.k.a. the Doctor, you know, reveals himself as the brother of his girlfriend, the soon to be Baroness. And then we have a nice little flashback scene where Jogolev is in the bunker. He finds all of Cobra's horrible experiments, but then the bomb goes off, which leaves them dead.
This was one of the things that I thought was a nice touch for G.I. Joe fans. People come in knowing the property. This is exactly the sort of thing that you want from, you know, like a rebooty type situation. You want something to like swerve people. We know the doctor. It's obviously Dr. Mindbender. He's doing Dr. Mindbender shit. And then, boop, turns out that the real Dr. Mindbender was this other guy. And we find out, yeah, that he's her brother. It was kind of cool.
No.
I don't need him to be her brother. I do maintain that this like reveal when I saw it the first time that he is Cobra Commander was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't need him to be the less Sienna Miller is connected to shit, the better.
But she is connected to this.
I said it last time. I would have rather him just been like a green guy in Magic Mike's unit who Magic Mike, you know, basically like sends to his death and then has guilt about it. I don't need him to be Sienna Miller's brother.
Can we talk more about Magic Mike's unit?
apparently that's what you're doing at the watch along with the Patreon. So
yes, I hope you guys enjoyed that. We are recording this before we do it, but you're going to hear it after we do it. We're doing Patreon watch alongs whenever we can kind of fit in the time, hopefully at least once a month, maybe on a Friday night, maybe in this case on a Saturday afternoon. I want you guys to hang out, be part of the show. That's what we're all about right here. Anyway, let's face it. Cobra starts shooting off missiles, and G.I. Joe is there at the snow base shooting the missiles out of the sky.
Okay, now, hold on. Yeah. I do want to say that here's the thing. As a fan, a lifelong fan of professional wrestling, the psychology of it fascinates me. The tropes that it presents are deeply ingrained in our psyches. It's, you know, like the first stories ever told around a campfire were, you know, like very close to professional wrestling stories. Fucking Gilgamesh is basically professional wrestling. You've got the two foes who, you know, eventually end up becoming a tag team because, you know, turns out they're
tag
more like
team back again. Party on, party people, though, let's begin.
And Gina, as much as I love professional wrestling, loves 90s hip hop even more.
It's true. So
we're both coming at it from different angles. Part of the really interesting thing is to look at professional wrestling as a kind of fantasy and to acknowledge that you're being lied to. You're thinking about the storytelling because obviously none of these people actually do these things, but there's an element of verisimilitude that you don't get in a movie. You know, like, you don't know, like, oh my God, does Jogolev actually have nanites in his body? No, that's pure fantasy. Wrestling tries to blur those lines. And if on a regular basis interact with that sort of thing, you can sort of see when that's happening in the real world. And that's why when, you know, you get people in the White House pulling shit and you're like, well, Jesus, you're just doing the $1 million man. Well, that's fucking dumb. And hopefully you realize when you're being conned. Not everybody gets that, but that's a whole different thing. This here, I liked that we got the reveal, but then when we see the backstory that this you know, pure face, this pure white meat baby face wanders into this lab and sees like 15 seconds of video, and I was like, oh my God, I want to do some Joseph Mengele shit now. I want to start experimenting on people and causing horrific damage. What? Where the hell did that? Where did that flip come from? How did he become a heel that quickly? That made no sense, and that bothered me. That's just like basic stuff, man. Like, give us a reason why he's doing it. Sort of build it up, like ramp up into the like, oh man, that guy. You know, he loves science way too much. Like he said some weird shit to me the other day, and I don't know if he's quite right in the head. And then when this happens, you're like, oh, that's what they were talking about. But there's none of that. There's just like, hi, I'm a good old, I'm his little baby brother. I'm a really nice guy. I'm evil. Mm-hmm. And that's like the holes that start exposing themselves at the back end.
God, I love it when holes expose themselves.
In the back end, even, especially, right?
Especially with Magic Mike's unit.
It just feels like, man, all you got to do is add in a couple lines, something, instead of just, all they wanted to do was like, hey, you see this pretty red thing blow up? Oh, wasn't that awesome? And it's they just let the rest of it go. They're like, fuck it. We don't fucking care. We don't care that you get emotionally invested in any of this. All we're here to do is to blow shit up. And that's a real disappointment.
Now, I'm happy to let Chan monologue as long as he wanted to. Did not want to interrupt that in any way.
We got to add this motherfucker because there's not much here.
That being said, Chan, what are you talking about as far as professional wrestling goes? What are you even meaning? I've been in the ring. You don't need to wonder. It's all real. It all hurts. And it's all real. That's what you need to know. I was there. I'm telling you.
Do you want to fight about it?
Yes.
Let's get in the ring, okay, where I'm protected. It's like Eddie Murphy says, you know, he might not be good in a street fight, but if he gets you in a movie, he'll kick your ass.
I'm sure. Was that from the special where he's like super homophobic? Is that the one you're talking about?
It's from one of the early ones, so let's just assume so.
It's a trick question. The answer is they're all really homophobic. Look,
it was either from Raw or Delirious, in which case the answer is yes, very plainly.
Sadly, even Comedian has a bunch, which is a shame because that was the one that, you know, I fell in love with as a kid.
Oh, is that right?
Eddie Murphy, Comedian?
I don't know that one as well as the other two were constantly man. Playing in my house in high school. You know,
oh, I had that cassette tape. Oh, that shit ruled.
All right. Well, there we go. It's another find right there. Can we just get to the point where Scarlett kisses Ripcord and it just and it comes from, I can't say it comes from nowhere, but it shouldn't come from anywhere based on what we've seen so far. Does that make sense?
Yep. 100%.
No one in this movie has chemistry with anyone else. It's as if they shot their scenes separately across from cardboard cutouts, and then they all digitally put them in together.
That's the thing, man. Like, you could have done it. It wouldn't have taken even any extra screen time. You just have to have actors that can act, a director that can direct, and... Like, I'm pretty sure all of these people have demonstrated those skills prior to this film.
Nah, too big an ask, Chan.
You're talking about Wayans' brother here, you know.
I think him is going to be great, but.
Oh, boy. So anyway, we get a lot of convoluted stuff here. Like the Baroness ends up turning on Cobra because she has a flashback to when she was a blonde and was banging Duke. So she starts slapping around Cobra Commander. Ripcord, you know, after kiss from Scarlett.
You know, the power of Magic Mike's penis. Uh-huh. Do you feel like it could break a nanite mind control device?
I mean, it depends. Is he hitting someone in the head with it to break the spell? Or is he dancing?
I mean, we're just looking at what's on the screen here. Like, we didn't even see him take off his breakaway pants. So, I mean, presumably he did that in the past. We didn't get to see it in flashbacks. There just wasn't enough time. But assume that he was dancing and she was like, oh, my goodness, that is deeply erotic to me, Sienna Miller. Do you or you, Gina Ippolito, in the role of Sienna Miller playing the Baroness?
I think Sienna Miller is dead inside, which is why she was so easy to fill up with nanites.
I see. Okay.
If anyone starts waving a penis in my face, I'm gonna look at least. It might break my nanite spell. Just even if I'm just like, hey, look, a penis.
Okay, so here we go. I mean, this passes muster. I'm not a lady folk. I wouldn't be swayed, but apparently Gina is, and so like we have to accept that this is a possibility and at least plausible.
I don't know. I feel like if Magic Mike's waving his schlong in your face, no matter who you are, you're going to pay attention.
I mean, there's things blowing up around you, so you know, like we got to take that into consideration. When the president is like super surprised that, like, wait a minute, they're launching these missiles, but they haven't given us their demands. Do y'all remember a time when terrorists had demands? When it was just like, hey, we're going to take over this plane and fly it to Cuba. And like, that's what me as a terrorist will do. I have completed my terrorist duties for the day. I'm going to go home and have a Twinkie.
Because going to Cuba, it's because you want Cuban stuff? What's your demands? Like
cigars.
Here?
You want cigars and baseball players.
I guess that's that was the deal back in the day. And now it's just sort of anybody who's not nice is a terrorist.
Yeah, that tracks.
So this does take place in a post 9/11 world. So like terrorism sort of became less fun after 9/11.
That's true.
This was after 9/11. So to still have that thing of like, well, what do they want so that we can give them the thing and they will stop doing the thing?
Well, I think that's a very G.I. Joe thing. They can't just, I mean, it would be fun if it was just like, what do they want? They like apparently nothing. What they want is chaos. I mean, I guess that's kind of ripping off the Joker, but.
Which was after this, right? 2009? Is this after Dark
Yeah,
Knight?
Joker was, yeah. That Batman was definitely after this.
Okay. So we had not been introduced to the concept, and therefore it couldn't possibly happen.
Dark Knight came out in 2008. This came out in 2009.
Oh, shit.
So, y'all's a bunch of liars.
Well, they should have ripped it off then. Would have been better.
They should have. Would have been nice for somebody in this thing to have motivations that are recognizably human.
Well, the whole thing just gets real, real weird and convoluted. I mean, first of all, I'm just not happy convoluted. That
it's I will not say, that complicated.
I will say right off the top, one of my favorite things about G.I. Joe, even though it's silly, the original property, I mean, is that every character could pilot every vehicle and use every weapon, and they just know how to do it. I find that delightful as you're playing action figures and all different people fly all different vehicles, right?
Even like planes that don't exist anywhere else in the world yet.
Yes. And however, in this movie, seeing Ripcord flying like a Cobra Raven, who I don't even know him to be a pilot in any measure, much less a Cobra piece of technology out of the base and then just fly it away no problem by himself, bothers me. And I don't know, again, this is more cognitive dissonance. I don't know how to make this right in my head, why it's okay here, but not okay here. But that's how I feel.
Yeah, Ripcord wasn't even a pilot. He was just the dude that jumped out of planes.
Right. He jumped out of like helicopters and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's flying enemy tech that he's never seen before. Never demonstrated flight skill
before.
This is
what I mean when I say every character in this movie is interchangeable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, ain't that the case? But then the part that I felt very convoluted is the we have a Baroness is whooping up on Cobra Commander, and then Duke, she beats him. Her and Duke make out for a second. He sees where the implant Cobra thing went under her ear. Cobra Commander, the doctor, zaps her, so she's out. At which point Destro comes in and he's confused because he doesn't know what's going on. And I'm just like, brother, I just don't care anymore. This is just way too much. I hate this plot line, because then it's revealed in a flashback that Baroness was sleeping in her underwear in a very interesting image as a blonde. Cobra Commander, for reasons, I guess he's still mad at Duke and wanted to like get back at him through his girlfriend, but he injects her with the Cobra stuff and turns her into the Baroness and then kidnaps her, I guess. But why didn't he just do that with Duke?
Well, no, because she was sad. He was trying to help her in the way that, you know, like a fucked up crazy person would. I'll just take away all our emotions. Everything be hunky-dory. That's not that convoluted.
But that's his own sister.
Is that his motivation? I thought that he did want to hurt Duke, because they did not make it clear that he was trying to help his sister.
No, he says that he's trying to help his sister. Like, hurting Duke was probably just like a bonus. Like, oh, sweet. I can kill two birds with one stone. Mm. One nanite. Nanomite? No, I forget what we're calling these things now.
Moving forward. Look, Duke ends up getting some sort of future pistol, like off the Baroness, and
you know what? I do like those future pistols.
I do like the future pistols that shoot like energy that flings people around ragdoll style.
Yeah,
you're never gonna get me to say I don't like that. I love that.
It's pretty rad.
They also have them underwater. Did you know, guys? Because G.I. Joe team is now attacking an underwater city, not just a base. A full ass city.
The Gungan city.
The Gungan city. And they're in. So Snake Eyes. Did you guys like Snake Eyes wearing the white snow gear for like 2 seconds? When I liked it because you couldn't see his mouth as much.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Yeah,
but then they're back in the Cobra underwater base. Literally 2 minutes, 3 minutes of screen time later. And we're just doing a thing.
We're all so over this movie. It's insane.
It gets fairly incomprehensible. I mean, like,
it doesn't.
I can explain what happened. It's just not
super
good.
It's super comprehensible. It's just dumb.
Yeah, I agree. It's not... The only convoluted thing about this is, like, why they had such a bad script in the first place. Wait, is this the thing that was, like, a victim of one of the strikes?
Sure. Let's say that it was.
We could blame it if we wanted to.
I thought, like, there was something, like, recently that I came across where I was like, why is this so bad? Oh, no. It was one of the Nightmare on Elm Streets.
I got bad news for you, Gina, about most of these Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and it's not because of a strike.
Nightmare on Elm Street 1, 3, and 7 are excellent.
That's New Nightmare, right?
I thought you were about to say episodes 1, 3, and 7 were victims of various writer's strikes.
Oh, no. Yeah, here's the deal. Like, I'm going to say right now, Gina's talking about Nightmare on Elm Street. The first one is a very, very, very good horror film. New mm-hmm. Nightmare is also a very, very, very good yeah. meta horror film. And the third one is silly fun.
Number three is the Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors, silly fun. Yes.
The other four, not strong.
Freddy's Dead is really one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
2010 is fine.
I've never seen that one.
That's the Jackie Earl Haley one where they were like,
yeah.
What if he's just scary and not campy? Sort of missed the point of Freddy.
Right. I think that's why I wasn't interested in it. I want horror movies to be fun.
Anyway, subscribe to Witching Hour NR, which you probably won't be able to find.
Oh, I've already found it, and I have subscribed. But the people at home, you boned.
I think you're subscriber number three on this secret YouTube channel that will be launching October 1st.
Are you guys abbreviating it NR instead of NRS?
It's always NR, new rock stars. It's two words.
Right. Rock stars is.
We've said too much already. I assume. I don't
That's
know.
That's two separate words, Chan, not three words.
I've signed absolutely nothing with new.
No. Right. Yeah. It's no rock star is two separate words. New rock stars is three words.
No. Rock stars can be a single word.
You going to look up rock stars and tell me that it is not two separate words?
Not in my canon.
Not in your pulse canon.
That's right.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is the new G.I. Joe Havoc.
Nothing's too tough for Havoc. Nothing's too rough for Havoc.
Look, Cobra Ferret! After! Yo, Joe!
Cobra's got to face much more than Havoc when Havoc's on the go. Cause out of Havoc comes a big surprise that gives more firepower to G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe!
Live the adventure of G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe Havoc comes with driver, other Joe and Cobra figures and equipment sold separately.
Yo, Joe!
Now back to G.I. Joe.
Look,
the fact that like we see them powering up the pulse cannon and it looks exactly like that Death Star big old pit kind of thing with like all the lightning shooting through it and all that. Like that's, man, you don't have to go that far. We fucking get it. You really like Star Wars. You're pulling a Phantom Menace thing. You're going even deeper with a fucking Darth Maul thing later. Like,
and the Gungan City. Don't forget about
the
Gungan
City. Good point.
Right, and the Gungan City.
And then we re-emulate the Obi-Wan Kenobi Darth Vader lightsaber battle from the first movie of what could have been by having an exactly similar chamber between Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes.
That's why I said Darth Maul, yeah.
Well, I'm talking about a different lightsaber battle.
Wait. There was
The one from the first movie that actually just ended with Darth Vader killing Obi-Wan Kenobi. Spoiler alert.
Sorry. Episode 4. Yeah.
I mean, the Darth Maul one is perfectly acceptable, too. That's a good battle.
Right.
The thing about this battle scene and where it loses me, and I'm a big fan of battle and action scenes when they're done right. The thing is, moment to moment, you have to understand sort of like why people are doing what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish through their actions. And that's why so many Michael Bay fight scenes to me fall so flat, because it's just one robot punches the other. He falls down, he gets up, he punches him back. He falls down, he gets up. And then they just sort of do that for a while until something happens to end the fight. But it's like a good wrestling match. I don't want to see a whole bunch of just moves that don't mean anything with no conjunction to each other. I want psychology. I want things to mean things and come to a decision that makes sense based on what I just watched. That's compelling. And that's my problem with the big vehicle fight scene happening all over this Cobra underwater base. Is it's just people swimming around or, you know, zipping around, shooting things. Then they blow up, but it's fine because we find more things. And then G.I. Joe gets shot. And it's just back and forth with no real, like, I don't understand what their end game goal is with a lot of this, other than the nebulous task of, like, stopping the cannon, right? But even then, that's, these people on the outside have no real impact on that.
Yeah.
But we also get a pretty decent Storm Shadow Snake Eyes fight that ridiculously ends with Storm Shadow getting killed by Snake Eyes.
Several things. One, I, as an adult human being, two swords together like that, two katanas together to make one super double-headed dildo katana, makes no goddamn sense. And you could try and make a case that it's pretty rad, but honestly, it's pretty dumb. That being said, Storm Shadow taking off his shirt for no goddamn reason, totally fine. Makes 100% sense. Fucking why not?
I'll be honest.
He works out. Let him show it off.
That didn't bother me even a little bit, because he got slashed a bunch of times in the chest. And at which point, psychologically, though, he's over-encumbered by wearing this heavy winter jacket. He's not fighting to his optimal level. He's getting slashed repeatedly. He tosses it off so he can fight more efficiently. Okay with that choice, because it wasn't like it was offering him armored protection anyway.
It does not help him in any way, shape, or form.
No, he still gets his shit kicked hard.
And then here's the other problem that relates back to wrestling psychology. Storm Shadow has never beaten Snake Eyes. There is no jeopardy here. There's nothing. He hasn't broken Snake Eyes' kneecaps. You're like, oh no. Well, now, you know, the better fighter has been handicapped. Maybe Storm Shadow will win. There are zero stakes to this, because Storm Shadow is worse.
Uh-huh.
He always has been and always will be. So we know who's going to fucking win the fight. And if you're going to do that, you better bring the most badass motherfucking martial arts sword fighting fight ever in the history of cinema.
Is there
the fact that we know who's going to win?
Is there any hint here at the end that maybe he's not dead? Is there like a credit scene?
Yes.
Remind me what it is.
I don't remember, but I remember that there's something that made me, or maybe I'm thinking of the cartoon. I don't know anymore.
I believe you're thinking of the other film, the Snake Eyes. We talked about this at one point, that there was a...
Oh, at the end of Resolute. Yeah, there was a thing.
Yeah, I don't remember there being... I do remember that, like, that this ends with, like, oh, shit, the president is Zartan.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how this ends. But, like, it is a bummer that, you know, they take one of the most classically awesome characters and they don't show him, like, at the bottom of that pit at the end, like, hoisting himself back up and being like, I'm going to fucking kill that guy.
They didn't do that for Darth Maul either. That's how much they're aping.
But that dude did survive. It's canon now.
Right, but they didn't in the movie.
That's true.
Stephen Sommers did not bother to watch or read any of the ancillary material for Star Wars. He just watched the movies and was like, I'm going to do this in water.
But like, this is such a, like everyone knows, oh, Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes have to constantly be fighting. And to have one of them die in the first movie is insane.
Has anybody seen the second one? Because I have not.
I own it on Blu-ray.
I think I maybe saw it at some point.
Do they like even continue with any of these characters, or do they just like hard reset? Here's brand new, and we never mentioned.
No, it's not a hard reset. It is a continuation.
Yeah. They continue on and then add like The Rock and shit like that.
The Rock comes in as Roadblock.
Jogalev's not in it, is he?
No, they do get a different dude. I guess they're thinking like, well, he's in makeup the whole time.
There is still a Cobra Commander?
Yeah, right?
I think so. Storm Shadow is back again in this movie because I see him on the cover.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see. I'll be curious to see how they write themselves out of this one. But like, clearly, it would have been a lot cool. I mean, I do think it's cool that it ends with Zartan as the president, master of disguises. That is cool. And I guess they were like, well, we can only really have like one character be back from the dead, even though we never see Zartan get killed or anything. I just think like it would have been a lot cooler if they were like, yeah, look at the bottom of this pit. No body down there. Hell yeah.
There are all sorts of things that would have been a lot cooler if anybody gave a single shit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, I just opened my, Blu-ray, Blu-ray plus DVD. Oh, that changes everything. We'll be able to watch this at movie night.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not have a Blu-ray player?
I know what we're going to do today. So that's great. I also have a digital copy too, but F that. The point I'm trying to make here is it is a direct continuation. No, I don't think they really lean on too much that's happening here. I mean, I don't think Sienna Miller is even the Baroness in this one. Is the Baroness even in this one? I'll be honest. I watched it way, way, way back when and thought it was not as good as this one, which is all you need to know about that. And I remember very, very little from it, except for one important plot point that happens fairly early on in the movie.
I see.
Which I'm not going to spoil because Chan hasn't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Try not to eat any carrots, peanuts, or cucumbers before we do the next watch along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No promises.
Damn it. Anyway, yeah. So just a lot of explosions start happening. The G.I. Joe team inside the base is wreaking havoc. The base blows up. I don't know. They get out. Like,
very
who cares?
Happy that they are at the North Pole. They send the missiles two completely different directions, Moscow, Washington. Ripcord follows the one to Moscow, takes it out, and then manages to go all the way around the world to catch up with the second one. How the fuck does that work? They don't bother to say. Just like, no. When we cut back, he's got the second one in his sights. I really wish they would have done something to make that make more sense. Like, we're going to blow up London at the very least. Then we're like, okay, well, like, that's sort of like not completely opposite sides of the world. We can sort of like fudge the distances.
Yeah. And Ripcord ends up like saving. He runs his plane into like the nanites and then blasts into space so they can disperse there. Then we finally get our Ripcord moment of him jumping out of the airplane, which fine. But then, like, he lands on the White House front lawn. He was in space, but pinpoints himself to the White House front lawn. If he has that kind of control, maybe don't land on the White House front lawn where you're about to get shot and arrested.
Yeah, turns out he's not good at the one thing that he's supposed to be good at.
Well, he's good at the activity, but not the thought process.
I mean, he's not good because if he was good at some point between the upper atmosphere and the surface of the earth, he could have steered himself fucking 50 feet in any direction.
Yes. You could have landed just outside. I don't know.
For example.
Yeah. Just outside, you know, and he's fine there. Yeah. Anyway, Cobra's base blows up. I honestly, like, I'm looking at it right now. I'm not sure exactly why. I'm not sure what happened to trigger all this. I've seen this movie a few times now. I don't remember. But the important thing is that the bad guys tried to get away, and they got their ship blown up and blasted, and Destro's face got all messed up, and he's going to die. So Cobra Commander injects him with the nanites. And what do the nanites do, Robert Clark Chan?
Give him a metal face.
Give him a metal face.
I like it. I am totally behind that origin story.
I'm not behind the fact that because he has nanites, Cobra Commander now controls him with a remote control.
Why wouldn't he?
I don't like the whole thing about Cobra Commander and what really makes him fun. Also, his Cobra Commander mask is absolute dog shit, just for the record, when he finally puts it on.
Yeah.
It looks absolutely terrible. Why do you even describe what that is?
It's like, what if a bunch of snakes on your mask?
Yeah, a bunch of, it's like a Cthulhu kind of mask, right? With all the tentacles, but it's like circles. It's absolute dog shit. This is the worst iteration of Cobra Commander visually that could be presented.
Well, they're trying to do a thing where it's like, look, he's Cobra Commander before he's Cobra Commander. But yeah, they have no respect clearly for the source material when it comes to outfits or costumes. There's not a single shoulder parrot in this entire film.
Yes, that is, like, a weakness.
Those original designs are iconic because they look cool.
Yes.
Why would you say, like, no, we're going to throw it away and do something completely new? Here's the thing, though. We're going to make them look terrible. That'll sell tickets.
What if it's bad?
They made this movie for, they like had a whole conversation about, like, hey, let's make a G.I. Joe movie. And then someone was like, oh, for like G.I. Joe fans of like the original. And they're like, no, not that at all.
No, actually, we're going to make it for no
one.
Everyone
but those people.
How about people that have never heard of the franchise and are willing to go into completely new? Also, no.
No.
Nope. No. And we're going to alienate the fuck out of those people.
I cannot stand how much cheering there is in this movie. Every time somebody does one thing right, like, hooray! Dial it back. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but at least we get Baroness in prison, but she doesn't wear her glasses in prison. Explain that one to me. Doesn't she want to see?
No, because her glasses are like Google glasses. They're not really like, that was one of my pet peeves, because this film director hates ponytails and glasses on women, because he puts her, the only time she's in glasses are when she's in the field, and they're tactical glasses, which is a very annoying, because I think that dude was like, ugh, no one wants to fuck a woman in glasses, and this woman has to be super fuckable. How can I get rid of these glasses? And then it was like, all right, I know what I'll do. I'll put her in some crappy tactical glasses and explain that, because no one likes a woman with bad eyesight.
It's true. It's true.
I think everything you're saying is pinpoint precision, quite honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I would honestly love to interview everyone who made any decisions on this film.
We get the iconic shot of G.I. Joe walking through their base, like in a nine across line, you know, the way you typically walk with your friends nine across.
We get the thing, like, he becomes Destro. It doesn't really explain why his name is Destro now, which is kind of dumb. It would have been nice to be like, you like to destroy things. Well, now I'm going to call you Destro because fuck you or something. But instead they're just like, hey, here's the thing that you from before, you know, like your original cartoon, that's good enough, right? A reference, not actually, anything to, make it make sense, which irritates the shit out of me. The Cobra Commander name makes sense. Sure. You will call me Commander and like the Cobra rises up. Okay. I get that. His voice though is dog shit. And another thing that, like, hey, man, what we had before was real cool. People remember it and like it a lot. If you're going to change it, do something cool with it. And basically what they did
cool with it
is they just kind of distorted it. They told Joe Golub to just like talk like this, and then we'll add some distortion on it, and that'll be scary, right? People will think that's scary. People won't think that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. G.I. Joe flies away and that's the end of the movie.
Well, no, first off, Ripcord's like, hey, baby, how you like that? And she's like, I feel very emotional.
Oh. Kill me.
Also, didn't their base get discovered? Why didn't they move that shit?
You see, it was underground, and that's hard to move. That would have been a good target, you know, for the bombs that Cobra was shooting.
Yep, yep.
Would have been a pretty good target at any point.
Yep.
Take out the whole thing, and they probably win the day.
Boop.
And that's G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra, in three parts for Robert Clark Chan.
You know what? I stand by it. Still wouldn't want to watch that all at once or even in two parts. There's a lot of...
We will be doing a movie watch along at some point. You'll have plenty of forewarning. And we're going to do G.I. Joe Retaliation at some point. Let's see. When did that movie come out? That movie came out in 2013. So I do think it's going to be a little hot minute before we actually watch it. Because Gina is very strict about the chronological order being before. Tell me I'm wrong.
We can't watch them out of order. That would be chaos.
Oh, you mean terrorism?
Yes.
I see. That checks out?
Yes. After this, I believe, comes G.I. Joe Renegades. So we have another 26 episode series. I act like it's not sitting right here next to me. We have bunch of episodes, everybody.
Great.
These are from 2011, according to the box. That will be the next G.I. Joe that we watch. Do we have any final thoughts? How do we feel at the end of G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra? Now, Chan, I know this has become like your top three favorite movies. Me and Gina did not like it as much as you did.
Indeed.
Chan loved it. Chan said this was his favorite movie of all time.
That definitely sounds like me. That sounds like the sort of thing I would say in the tone of voice that I would say it in.
He said he'd given up all hope in this year of our Lord, 2025.
Yep.
And as then he watched this movie.
1994.
And then he watched this movie, and it gave him a new lease on life.
It gave me a Phantom Menace. It gave me a Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, I like what you're doing there. Actually, it turns out there is something more we can watch here. In 2009, there was a 15-minute action animation called G.I. Joe, The Invasion of Cobra Island, which seems to be fan-made, maybe with figures.
We're not doing fucking fan-made shit.
It shows up on IMDb. Gina, I need a ruling here.
Wait, something fan-made would not show up on... Oh, unless they entered it themselves, like psychos. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
It's a short film from 2009. Written by Shiraz Babu, which I think
is
delightful.
If it's 30 seconds long, I'll watch it.
It is 15 minutes long.
Ugh.
Cranking a 5.8 user reviews on IMDb.
Here's our thing.
This is not necessarily fan-made. I don't know where this came from. I'm going to have to look it up. When Cobra, it's a stop-motion animation with figures. This is fascinating. When Cobra develops a secret bioweapon in their hidden island base, G.I. Joe is called on to stop them. A daring invasion is executed with Snake Eyes squaring off against Storm Shadow, his old nemesis, but the Joes learn that Cobra is a slippery snake when they fail to capture the bioweapon. Spoiler alert. This is from RM Productions Limited. and I don't know exactly what this thing is, but it's filmed.
A stop motion with action figures made by fans. We are not watching. I
think we gotta watch this.
If you decide that that's a thing that's going to happen, I will come in having not watched it.
I mean, it hasn't stopped us before, Robert Clark Chan.
No, that's when you do it because you're an idiot. I'm telling you right now, ahead of time, that I will not be watching it.
I got to find out. I got to figure out what this is. Oh, it's on Mubi.
Contact whoever made it and ask them why.
What's got to get them on the show?
Ugh.
This is fascinating. And I want to try to find any reason why this would be official in any way, like made in conjunction in support of the toy line, anything like that at all. I will try to find it. It is referred to on the G.I. Joe Reddit as a crime against nature.
I see.
All right. Well, that's enough for me. Yeah, so we're going to do that and then Renegades. Okay, it's been decided. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate you guys coming on by. I hope you all came by for movie day. Chan and Gina, of course, you're invited this Saturday afternoon to come and join in for all the hijinks and fun.
I got
to
know what we're watching, who's going to be there.
Ray's going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
Well, then never mind. I'm out.
Yeah, all you need to know. And I don't know what we're watching as of this moment. I have some suggestions, but I'm going to find some really aggressively low budget and terrible horror films. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun, I say. Just like this show, unlike this movie, G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra.
I've already expunged it from my brain.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.